The American experiment can be summed up in two phrases, self-rule under God. But can we have self-rule if the woke are always trying to undermine it? Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb and our guest is Charlie Kirk, who's the founder of Turning Point USA. He's written a new book called, it's all about wokeism. It's called Right Wing Revolution, How to Beat the Woke and Save the West. Charlie, it's great to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Great to be here. Thanks so much. God bless you. Thank you.
You too. Okay, so here's a question for you. Why should the woke control our lives, limit our destiny, and deny us our God-given liberties?
Well, they shouldn't, and that's what the book is all about. It's about trying to reclaim our position in this country and to restore self-government. You know, the woke, I believe, is the demonic. I believe it comes from a very dark place. And really, the woke is a mixture of postmodernism, of nihilism, of deconstructionism, all mixed together. You know, the woke, they have taken control over almost every single major institution in this country.
Yeah.
And it's going to require a effort, and we say this in the book in Right Wing Revolution, of people of all different sorts of backgrounds, but especially people of faith, to rise up, understand the enemy, and to fight for liberty and to fight for righteousness. We talk in the book, and people can find the book at 45books.com, that liberty is not man's idea, it is God's idea. And that is a very important thing, is that God wants us to be free. In the first statement of the Ten Commandments, God says, I am the Lord your God who delivered you out of the house of bondage of Egypt. Where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. In Leviticus 25:19. The Lord says, and it's on the Liberty Bell, proclaim liberty in the land of which you are in. And so it is God's heart for us to be free. The woke do not want us to be free. They want us to be controlled and afraid. And so we need to get the message out. We need to fight in every way we possibly can. And this book lays out the path forward.
Yeah, you have partially defined woke, but is there anything else you want to say about what does that actually mean, wokeism?
Well, the best way I could define it is it's a group and an ideology that complains until they control. So they complain about certain injustices,
wow,
inequities, inequalities until they control institutions. That's the best way I can summarize it. The book goes into hundreds of pages of what it is and where it comes from. We don't need to spend time on that, from Herbert Marcuse to Michel Foucault to Jacques Derrida to Kimberly Crenshaw to Derek Bell to Jean Stefanik. There's a long literary history that we examine very closely in the book. But most importantly, that's the way I can summarize it. Complain until you control. It's a means to control many different portions of society.
Okay, earlier I mentioned how the founding fathers, if you really boil down the essence of the Declaration of Independence, why we exist as a nation, it gets back to the consent of the governed who have been endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. Wokeism is at war with those two premises, correct?
Oh, that's right. The idea of inalienable rights is totally at odds with the woke. You see, they don't believe in a God. They don't believe in the eternal and transcendent purpose. No, instead, they believe that there is no purpose, there is no meaning. And again, the woke is just a filler term for what we have been fighting on the spiritual domain for the last couple thousand years. And again, the enemy comes to lie, steal, cheat, and destroy. But Jesus has come to give life, and life more abundantly, as it says in John 10:10. And so we talk about that in the book, and we also identify what every citizen, what every person can actually do about it to fight back. We go into great detail of the micro, the macro, real action steps that can be applied to help retake the country.
I got to read portions of your book, you know, whatever they sent, and it's phenomenal. But one question came to my mind as I was reading different pages, and it's this. Why should Karl Marx have the final say in this world? Karl Marx couldn't even reconcile his own bank account. Karl Marx forced his family into utter poverty. He couldn't, you know, it's like, what a loser. And yet this guy's ideas have, poisoned the minds of millions and led to the deaths of tens of millions. Amazing.
Yeah, and I mean, Marx was also, he was involved in the occult, and that's very important to remember, is that Marx was engaged in the demonic, and Marxism is from the pit of hell. Marxism seeks to destroy people's connection to God, people's connection to the family, and people's ability to own property, three things that are biblically based and mandated. And so Karl Marx shouldn't have the final say, and that's why believers need to identify What is Marxism? Where does it come from? And our need to rise up against it. That's very well stated and well put.
Paul Kanger, who wrote the book about the devil and Karl Marx, one of the things he said is that when Karl Marx read Metastasophiles or whatever, he said, oh, this became his mantra. Everything that exists deserves to perish. And I brought that out in a sermon, and I contrasted, well, Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
Yeah, that's very well said. Marx said that we must have the relentless criticism of all that exists. Marxism is just the latest manifestation of this spiritual war. And we talk about that here in the book, Right Wing Revolution. We make no qualms about the spiritual battle that is in front of us. And the need for us to be able to push back against these forces that have been so successful. And it really is incumbent on the church, and it's incumbent on believers to do that. If we're honest with ourselves, the church has failed in this regard, large in part, over the last couple decades. And if pastors and Christians start to rise up and speak out more, we can be ultimately successful. But right now, it seems as if the church largely is indifferent towards the rise of Marxism in the West.
I want to quote your book. For decades, we haven't cared enough about the rising tide of wokeness, and instead of being alert, we've often been smug. We whine to our families and friends about what we see on the news, on social media, or to family and friends, but do perilously little to change the news. We complain about new laws invented by the left, but far too often we don't propose an alternative law of our own and lobby Republicans to pass it.
And that is well said, and that is what we try to
address in this
book. It's well stated, I should say. That's what we try to demonstrate in this book, of exactly the way forward, of exactly how we can put together our own agenda and our own path forward. Look, it's very tempting just to want to complain, but that's what the woke do, and we put forward a concrete, very easy-to-understand vision. People can find the book at 45books.com, and we really, again, I'll say that it is easy to complain about inflation or the open border. It's far more important to actually put together what is our purpose, what is our task, what does success look like. That's what we do in the book, Right Wing Revolution.
So in other words, instead of complaining about just reacting to the agenda that the left has set, why don't we set the agenda, is what you're saying?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, far too often we kind of fall spell to just relentlessly criticizing, not getting into the weeds of, what does the grassroots activism look like? And it starts with, of course, a spiritual revival, a personal revival. It's a full spectrum approach that we need. And again, I call on Christians to start to really rise up and to start to understand the stakes in front of us. It's easy to just issue forward negative or criticism or complaints. It's going to be the question of whether or not we do something constructive and whether or not we combine our forces together to fight for goodness, truth, and beauty.
You said part of the solution is masculine energy. Do you care to comment?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've seen the hyper-feminization of the American West. Feminine energy is very important when you want to raise children or if you want to build a home. But feminine energy has been very destructive in its force against the West. Masculine energy is determined. It doesn't care what other people think. Masculine energy is forceful at times, and it's the dad's role in the home to say no. It is dad's job to say no when a kid is eating too much candy or is behaving the wrong way. And right now, there's no one in our society that's saying no to these bad ideas. That no one is saying, no, you're not allowed into this country. No, you're not allowed to, just loot and burn and, quite honestly, murder in some of these places. And so a restoration of masculine energy in the West is something that is not talked about enough. But in the book, we go into great detail about it.
Yeah, you're so right. Fatherlessness, for example, is absolutely associated with so many of these terrible, maladies in the inner cities and so forth. I mean, the vast majority of inmates in prisons are from fatherless homes and so forth. And yet, it's politically incorrect somehow to condemn fatherlessness. It's amazing. One of the things you said is part of the solution. Oh, do you want to add anything? Yeah, go ahead.
No, please continue.
Okay. Caring less, you said, is part of the solution. Caring less. Explain.
Caring less about what the bad guys call you. I can't tell you how many people are just paralyzed, and they're in a place of almost hypnosis by how much, by what the bad guys call them, or what the woke call us when they call you racist or bigot or misogynist or all that nonsense. No, you should not care what they call you. You should care about your close relationships. You should only fear the Lord. You should care about your wife. You should care about your kids and maybe your pastor and close friends. It does not matter what people you've never met call you. It's completely and totally irrelevant. And we talk about in the book about how much control they have over Western society just based on weaponizing name calling. So caring less is a very, very important component to beating the woke.
Okay, that's a great point, because, you know, how many times do we get called Christian nationalists and so forth just for saying, you know, look, you know, it was Christian principles and ideas, biblical ideas that helped create America, what's right about America. Okay, making ourselves right. Better. Okay, that idea is, hey, how can we tell others to improve their lives if we don't get our act together? Defanging bureaucracies. You care to comment on that?
Sure, yeah. The administrative state has incredible amounts of power over Western society. And the administrative state is the fourth branch of government. They have unchecked, unregulated amounts of power in the American system of government. And we have millions of bureaucrats that honestly should not have the power they have over our country. And giving the capacity back to our form of government to say that, no, we want to have three branches of government, not four, that we actually do not want an unchecked, unknown sector of the American power center that has, you know, the ability to spy on sitting presidents or subvert elections. Yeah. We are very much down the path of what a unregulated administrative state looks like. Some people call it the deep state. There are ways to rein it in. Of course, it's going to require getting Donald Trump back in the Oval Office, God willing, in January. And it's something that we talk about quite often in the book and in great detail of what we can actually do about it.
You know, as to Donald Trump, I mean, the fact of the matter is we're at a point where it's a binary election. So it's either Trump or Biden for the most part. I mean, honestly, even if Biden somehow got replaced, it's still going to be the Biden type policy. So you're really talking about, okay, open borders, relatively closed borders, good economy, bad economy, abortion up to the moment of birth, or, you know, some protections for the unborn. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it really is. It is a binary election. That's well said. And we talk about that in Right Wing Revolution, is that not every candidate has to perfectly fit all your criteria. But boy, the stakes ahead of us in this election have never been greater. Dare I say they're actually they are existential in more ways than one. That is for sure.
Culture of defeat. That's something we have to watch for and defeat that on the part of conservatives. Culture of defeat. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. And we've kind of been in a doom loop as conservatives for far too long. We think that we always lose, that we have no ability to push back. And that's not true. We talked about some of the success stories, about how we were able to reverse Roe versus Wade, about how, you know, we've been able to, put forward Second Amendment protections, how we've been able to, protect regarding the U.S. Constitution, constitutional rights in the courts. And so that kind of despair and doom loop is something that we must fight back against. And we talk about it in great detail in the book. And it really needs to be an attitude shift.
All right. The title of the book, Charlie Kirk's book, Right Wing Revolution, How to Beat the Woke and Save the West. It's available at 45books.com. 10-second closing thought from Charlie Kirk. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much. Great interview. 45books.com. People can check it out. Really important piece. I've worked really hard on this one. Love people to check it out. Right Wing Revolution. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you, Charlie. All the best. Bye-bye.
God bless. Thanks.